It's the end of Point Counterpoint Week, and our judges have reviewed all three shows and are ready to share their opinions. Which team will take home the gold, and which contestant will see the end of their time in the competition? Find out right now on America's Next Top Podcaster. Hello and welcome to America's Next Top Podcaster. I'm Brian Ibbett, and we've almost come to the end of Challenge 2, where I've asked our teams to produce a point, counterpoint, or debate-style podcast. Today on the show, our team of judges, Scott, Jenny, and Justin, will review each of the shows with the teams. But before we get to that, Tom Merritt shares his thoughts about his coaching sessions with each team.
The sock puppets made me so happy because I know they didn't feel great after last week's coaching session, but they pulled it off. They actually dug deep and that worked for them. This week, they're almost in the same place they were last week, which maybe is a good thing. Like, they still need an idea. They still need a structure. That'll be the issue. But I think they've got their heads wrapped around this game right now. So I kind of feel good that even though they're not giving me everything I would want to see from them at this point, that their heads are pointed in the right way and they were able to pull it off last week. So I hope they don't let their foot off the gas, because if they keep pushing, I think they're going to do really well again. Force Bench Wizard Blast has a great structural idea. They came in solid, and they know what they want to do. They just need the topics. And that's one of those things that it's hard to say whether that's a problem or not at this point. Topics always feel impossible in brainstorming until you get them. And then you're like, oh my gosh, these are it. But I think if they do the production right, that this will carry them forward. And it's just a matter of how well they execute those topics and what those topics are that'll make the difference between how the judges react to it. The banana hugs, I like their idea, but I also feel like they risk repeating their mistakes of last week, because last week they wanted to do funny and they didn't do funny enough. Now, they had a really good answer when I brought that up of like, yes, we know we held off last week, so we want to push it this week. My worry is they'll push it in the wrong direction. So I was really trying to push them towards, you have to push it towards clever. You have to push it towards substantive. You have to, I don't think this works if it comes off as vaudevillian. And I wish I'd said that in the actual coaching section, but I think they started to get the message. And I'll be very interested to see how this ends up, because it could be, if they do it right and they add a lot more production elements and effects over what they did last week, it could be a super entertaining episode.
This episode of America's Next Top Podcaster is brought to you by Rogue Amoeba. Now, when you're producing a podcast, you're usually working with a bunch of different elements, right? Skype, Discord conversations, music beds, streaming, you name it. So you need one piece of software that can pull in all those elements. Rogue Amoeba has it, and it's called Audio Hijack. Now, what that does is it routes all of your audio from one application to another. So you can say, okay, pick up my Skype conversation and reroute it to my recording application. Or better yet, pick up my microphone, route it to Discord, and route a second copy to my streaming service. It does all that. It's like one of those big operator panels with all those cords and patch cables between it. And super convenient for podcasters, super convenient for anybody who needs to record or produce audio on their computer. Now, right now, Rogue Amoeba has generously provided a coupon, ANTP20, that's ANTP20, which you can use to save 20% off Audio Hijack, Farrago, Fission, or Loopback, as well as the Ultimate Podcast Bundle, which combines all four of those applications. Now, that bundle is already discounted for the four prices, but this 20% off coupon discounts it even further. Go check it out, rogueamoeba.com.
Hello, Hammond Chamberlain again, producer of America's Next Top Podcaster. This week, I want to talk to you about de-essers and sibilants. These are plugins that are designed to bring down the volume and impact of a variety of vocal sounds that can be difficult to listen to, especially if they're being pumped into your brain through earbuds or headphones. The most common sources of sibilants are the S sound and the SH sound. I use sibilance from waves.com to reduce these sounds and to create a natural level that eliminates the distortion and high frequency peaks. The sibilance plugin uses what's called organic resynthesis. This breaks the sound into basic elements. What this does is allows changes to be made to one element without altering the others. In the end, this provides a smooth, glitch-free de-essing process. For podcasting idle, this plugin is one of my workhorses. With so many voices, with so many speaking styles, I'm able to reduce and control those harsh high peaks created by S's, SH's, and CH's in one customizable, highly responsive plugin. One of my favorite features about Waves plugins is that I can create presets based on the show or the voice that I'm working with to speed up my production process, saving me a ton of time in the long run. Head on over to waves.com or follow the link in the show notes to get more information about Waves and the Sibilance plugin. I'd like to thank Waves for their amazing support and belief in America's Next Top Podcaster and providing their gold package of plugins to this season's winner.
This episode is also brought to you by Shure, a leader in audio equipment. Now, the winner of America's Next Top Podcaster is going to receive Shure's MV51 microphone. But let's take a look at how this microphone makes a great studio addition to any podcaster. First off, it connects to your computer very easily with USB. No surprise there. It also includes a lightning cable, so you can take it on the go with you and record to your iPhone, your iPad, whatever you want. It's also got a little touch panel on the front that lets you choose from one of five different DSP modes, so you can choose speech, singing, acoustic instruments, whatever you're using, and it's going to make it sound amazing. It's got an all-metal construction, so you can toss it in your computer bag, take it on the go with you. It's got a little kickstand, so you can put it on your desk, but it also has an attachment for a floor stand to make it really easy to use with your floor setup. And it comes with the Shure Plus Motive audio app for recording and on-screen control, so you have complete control of the sound coming out of your microphone. Big thanks to Shure for their support of America's Next Top Podcaster. Hello and welcome to another episode of America's Next Top Podcaster. I'm Brian Ibbett, and on this show, we are looking for, it's right there in the title, America's Next Top Podcaster. We've got 11 contestants. We are going to be working our way through the teams and their challenge this week. The challenge was to create a point-counterpoint debate podcast, and I'm joined, as always, by our judges, Scott Johnson.
Hello and welcome to me.
Jenny Josephson.
Also, I welcome Scott.
And unfortunately, not able to be here live, Justin Robert Young. However, we do have audio from him that we're going to hear a little bit later on in the show. He is out at a thing, and he's actually even going to explain the thing he's out at. But he did provide feedback for all of the teams and general feedback. We're going to go through all of that here in just a moment.
By the way, Brian, you could almost feel the contestants breathe a sigh of relief and then clench up again when you said he sent audio. So
right, exactly. They're probably like, oh, thank goodness we dodged that. Oh no. he didn't even have to listen to our voices to you know, soften his blow. Yep. He recorded them in the safety of a little recording studio. All right, well, let's go ahead and talk about the challenge this week. This was a point counterpoint debate style podcast. Scott, what kinds of things were you looking for this week?
This is one it's interesting because I was trying to, you know, last week my stuff was more general, like, well, all right, it's your sophomore episode, it's time to really see what you're made of. You know, this is a chance to really hammer it home, don't get lazy, blah blah blah, all that sort of thing. And I never really thought about what I wanted out of these individually. Like, what do I want out of a debate show generally? Mm-hmm. And it occurred to me as I was listening to these, I went, oh, you know what? I don't really listen to shows that have debates or that are centered around debates. And there are plenty of them. I'm a big fan of like PRI and public radio and NPR. And they have a lot of shows like that. And it turns out I subscribe to none of them. So I think it's interesting for me to come to the table today because this happens to be a subgenre of conversational radio that I actually don't love. And so today my expectation shifted from how will they do their second time out to can they turn me around on that? Or at the very least, can they be inside of a subgenre I'm not a big fan of and still compel me and make me think, you know, that that maybe I should check it out? So I don't know what that particular bias is going to do to me, but I think it had an effect. So yeah. Cool. So my expectations today are, you know, show me why I'm wrong about debate podcasts, I guess.
Yeah. And you bring up a very good point. I mean, there are shows that are specifically, all right, we're going to debate something every single week. There are shows that just kind of naturally lend themselves to fit a debate format. Maybe aren't always debates, but news topics, you know, where you've got a panel of people talking, those can turn into debates, even though the original intent of the show might not be, all right, we're each going to pick a side. We're going to argue that side. Right. So I'm glad you're recognizing. And I think you do recognize that the point this week is less about arguing. It's being convincing while you're arguing, I think is the,
yeah, convincing. And also entertaining.
Sure.
Because arguments don't entertain me normally. Arguments can come up on all kinds of formats of shows. Our morning show is a show that will once in a while have contentious issues that we'll mostly argue with the audience about. Right. And I think there's room for that in every show, really. But where it's the main focus, I think that's more challenging as I woke up today than it was a week ago when we talked about it. And I don't know why. I just feel like this is going to be a harder hill for them to climb.
Sure. Oh, good. Excellent. Jenny, how about you? What were you looking for this week?
You know what I'm going to say. I was looking for people to commit to the bit.
I know. That's going to be the t-shirt this season.
I know. But I was also looking for people in this one to go deep. And those are like two slightly... Oh, I'm so glad the helicopters are here right now. they've come to take me away because I'm so committed to the bit. I really wanted people to go deeper, right? You know, is a hot dog a sandwich is one thing.
Sure.
A really impassioned debate about women's rights is another thing.
Right.
A scream fest about, you know, left v right is a third thing. And I was really curious to see what depth that the candidates would bring to this, or the contestants would bring to this episode. And I got my answer.
Mm-hmm. Very good. And, you know, coming off of last week, we had a team that won, that kind of had a target on their back to deliver. We had a team that lost a member and had kind of an opportunity to prove themselves, to redeem themselves. And we're going to be talking to all three teams. Jury, we asked Jury what he was looking for as well, and he responded.
I was really disappointed, honestly, with kind of everybody. I feel like all the honesty kind of got lost from last week. I feel like there was a lot of thought about structure, but not a lot of thought as to why the structure was there, or to justify it, or to give me a reason to mold it between the people that were saying the things and why they were saying it in that vein. To be totally honest, I think that any one of these three could have been the lowest team. There was just one that happened to be the best. If it were up to me through the rules, there would be no winner.
Oh, like, wow.
Here's the thing that nobody did. Nobody did. Everybody had to have a winner. It had to be a fight. That's not a debate show. Turn on CNN. Turn on Fox News. Turn on ESPN. Turn on Fox Sports 1. There is nothing but wall-to-wall debate shows, and nobody is declared the winner. There's one format that does that, and that's Around the Horn on ESPN, and they build they make a point to let you know up top what the rules are to win, who the judge is, and when the judging happens. It's just, again, so much structure with no justification.
Okay, wow. All right.
Well, whew. Also, all those things he mentioned, they all sound like him. Matt, yeah. Yelling.
I know. Wall-to-wall yelling, I know. And he's not here to defend himself, too. We can say whatever we want about him.
Well, he's right. I'll say that.
Yeah. For all the fire and fury, they're great points. They're salient points. So, all right. Well, on that note, everybody,
Let's take a deep cleansing breath. Let's move into the judging portion of the show. We're going to start, as we have before, with the sock puppets. Winners from last week.
Good evening.
Hello.
Hello. Don, David, Kristen, and Bobby. First off, how was your time with Mark and Hal from the podcast We Got This with Mark and Hal?
Really enlightening. They gave us some really good pointers as far as how to be ourselves and how to structure something so that it was more about us as contestants or us as debaters and not so much about how the topic was or what the topic sure. was.
Makes right. sense. And I think that was really important for us. And at least for me, and I think I can speak for everybody else when I say this, it helped us feel really good about what we were working on. It's hard to pick a topic. You just have to pick one out of the air and just start arguing about it, right? If you want to do this. But they helped us by saying, you know, giving us the advice anyway to say, maybe try to make this, you know, it's a podcast. It's supposed to be a podcast series, like it's supposed to be a show with lots of episodes. So maybe the reason people are coming back is because of you as people. Right. So maybe try to inject that personality in there somewhere. And that I think that kind of helped us make something that we were really proud of in the end, regardless of what happens tonight. But
yeah, they definitely helped focus us for what our idea was.
Good. Yeah, I listened in on that discussion. It was really, really good because you guys bring up a good point, and it's a very important point for this whole week, is that the why should I care, when you're dealing with opinions that are on one side or another side of a discussion, whether it's controversial, whether it's humorous, whether it's topical, whatever, the reason people should care is because they care about the host. They have to, because that is why they would listen to somebody's opinion arguing for one side or the other.
Yeah. And I feel like that's not a small pointer. It wasn't for us while we were planning either, Brian, because mm-hmm. like we kept trying to think of a topic that would be like, wow, that's really interesting. And I think that the conclusion we came to is that could work really, really well if we were like trying to produce a one-off debate. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was sure. going to be posted on Facebook somewhere, on YouTube somewhere, you know, like, but that's not what we're trying to do here. So anyway.
Absolutely. Yeah. So in this one, the audience has to be invested in the side, or invested in the people, not right. the, not necessarily the issue. Let's talk about your show, Date Debate. Tell me the concept behind it.
Our concept was to have a group of people, experts, get together and help someone writing in for dating advice. And we picked a topic that we thought was interesting and we went with it.
Very good. And the one you went with cosplay. Dangerous water to climb into considering that last season. Well, I don't know. Maybe Frost was almost sunk because of a cosplay comedy episode.
Yeah, we actually, so when we recorded actually a couple different episodes, one to just kind of warm up and feel it out. And then we did a couple of different topics. And we actually thought we were going to do this different one. But we had really prepared for it and kind of over-prepared for a 10-minute debate.
Oh,
and,
sure.
And when we got through it and then listened to the two recordings of these two episodes we had, we realized that one had a lot of merit if we had 20 minutes to talk it out.
Right.
Where wow. this...
What was the topic of that other one?
What's the most romantic fast food for a first date?
Excellent. Which one won, by the way? Was there a clear winner?
They didn't like the winner.
We didn't like the winner.
This is a very controversial thing, Brian. I was the one choosing the winners, and nobody was happy with me choosing Sonic.
No, you chose Dairy Queen. You chose Dairy Queen.
Right, I chose Dairy Queen, and they wanted me to pick Sonic.
No, we wanted you to pick Panera.
No, you should have picked Sonic.
Already, I love this podcast.
I know. You should have recorded this one.
We did.
And, you know, as Justin pointed out in his audio, there didn't need to be a winner. There didn't have to be a winning answer to that, by the way. I do like the thought of that. So this would be basically a every week somebody would write in with a question. And would it be because you guys have the advantage of having a woman on your team and, you know, three males. So you could have done, or did you, or is this kind of the perspective that the debate might fall along gender lines?
That wasn't something we really thought about.
Yeah. I don't think we thought about that.
Yeah, and kind of in this day and age, it's probably less important to have that because dates can be... We know that dates can be many different genders.
Right.
Anyway.
It's true.
All right, so tell me about the brainstorming process you guys have. Is it collaborative?
Oh, it's highly collaborative.
Very.
Absolutely.
So much so that it's very, very difficult for us to kind of... As you know, Brian, we let you know who did what during the process of this. And it's really actually really difficult for us to sort of lay that out because we have lots of meetings and we hash things out and we're constantly talking on Discord and we're constantly like iterating. Iterating is really the best word for it because we're constantly iterating over ideas over and over and over again. Sometimes we have test recordings. I mean, both shows that we've done right now, we've recorded practice and then made like adjustments and then went back to the drawing board, stuff like that. So
right. And I encourage that, and I especially encourage that with a show that needs to feel fresh and live and improvised.
Right.
I love the idea of you guys recording several different takes and almost saying that's the one we use, and instead of saying okay, now let's do it for real, say that's the one we use.
We wanted it to feel more fluid and less scripted.
Good. Yeah, that's the reason we picked the one we wanted, because when we listened to them, we thought that one had the most genuine feel to it.
Oh, very good. Yeah, like the discussion about soot. There is nothing but soot at Goodwill. Everything has soot on it at Goodwill. When you guys are collaborating during the brainstorming process, is there a person who naturally kind of steps to the forefront and leads? Does it change every week?
I think Bobby does a good job pointing us in a direction to always be thinking about the story and the structure. We have ideas that we kind of just throw out there and see what people think about it. And it kind of, as Bobby said, it evolves to something that we all enjoy. We go, there it is. That's the idea.
Gotcha. And who's the person, or at what point do you guys decide, if there is a person, that's what I want to know about, who decides, all right, boom, we've got our idea. Let's make this.
I think we all just sort of come to a consensus where we're like, well, what do you think?
And we'll
whittle it down to one or two and two or three.
Yeah. Cause we listed a lot of topics, but we kind of had this general dating idea floating around and we all just kept coming back to it.
Mm-hmm. We thought it was the most intriguing.
Yeah, I think
the iteration thing that helps a lot, I think, is just...
I think we had a list of about 20, 25 different things that we could have debated.
Yeah. All right. Excellent. Well, great. Let's go ahead and get the judge's take on it. We're going to start with Jenny.
Oh, hi. So hi. I should let you know that I really love all things Disney, and I've come to it very late in life, which is an interesting thing, and it leads to my notes about your podcast. First of all, the concept of the Disney dater has a lot of potential, right? Like, I love that idea, but I think you took a shallow approach to it. And this is why I say, think you when you come up with like a topic, a general topic that rings a bell, right? And you're like the Disney dater. You've got to pause, even though you're like, oh, that's great. And ask yourself, how do I go deeper? How do I take this and make it something that I could argue about at the top of my lungs from a true place? Not just like I like this. No, I like this. But like an example of that would be your listener question would be, I want to do Disney costumes for Halloween as a couple costume, but my date says no way. He says it's for babies and that I should grow up. What do I do? Is it for babies? Right? Now think about the level of discussion that would have provided you. Like, I could do that right now with a real friend of mine and we would no longer be friends, right? So you know, it would be more about character and how people relate to life and less about like fabric, right? So I felt like there was about halfway through that where there were no stakes, and it just felt like you kind of maybe almost ran out of things to say. The other thing is, like, I would, first of all, like, there was a little bit of writing thinness to this, which as I would have punched up the judge intros a little more. They were like a little flat. There were a lot of like little word based mistakes. So like, for example, the Academy Awards gives out a best picture, not best film, right? If you're going to say supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, then you have to nail it or do a retake. Or you can say docious aliexpiastic fragicalirufus, but that's going a bit too far. So I thought like that the structure was a little confusing. Like, why would you give away your answer and then further discuss? Like, it felt like a preliminary round in a game show, but that's not a debate, right? So anyway, the things I want to say that are really good was it's a good, simple concept, and you had a good overall meaty topic, and the sound quality was really good this week. One tiny note about the opening music. When you have opening music to start, it helps to let one full musical phrase either fully resolve or semi-resolve, like end, before bringing in the hello, I'm so-and-so. Otherwise, it's like interrupting someone in the middle of a musical sentence. So this was like, I wouldn't have come in where you came in. I would come in at 2 seconds and 520, whatever the subdivision of a second is, a millisecond. And it's like where the music went, ba, 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 ba. And it was like a whole note rather than a half note. That's where, in that whole note, that's where the voice comes in. Anyway, overall, though, I really liked it. I thought it was almost there, but go deeper.
There you go. All right. Very good. We will now go to Justin's comments.
All right. The date debate. Stock concept. You know, which is fine. You don't need anything complicated. You really just need passion. But, man, I just got lost in the sauce here. Why are there three debaters? Why does everybody get so locked in to their answers so early? Because when you lock yourself into the answer, there's no reason why. I didn't want you guys to say, oh, here are three couples costumes. What I really want is to find why it's the best couple's costume. Like, the reason why a couple's costume is interesting is because there's a lot of interpersonal relationship that kind of happens to do it. Where are you going? Is this really about the guy wanting to dress up or the girl? Or is it an equal thing? All of them are interesting. None of them were addressed. There was a little bit from the female perspective of, like, why would a Beauty and the Beast kind of thing work when you're going to be wearing this gigantic dress? And then beyond that, I really don't understand why this turned into, like, who can DIY a costume together? Because the Halloween costume, yes, sometimes it's worth DIYing, but other times, no, you want to spend the money. We're adults. We have jobs. Sometimes you want to splurge. Like that's just the meat of this is supposed to be in the discussion. And the discussion that we wound up getting might as well have been a costume review or a morning show segment suggesting DIY costumes for kids. None of that is the very real, relatable conversation about a couple's costume.
All right. Thank you, Justin. And by the way, his pre-recorded comments we'll provide to all of you to listen to turn into your ringtones on your phones if you like. All right, let's go to Scott.
All right. First thing that struck me was Bobby is excellent at this. You are a perfect sort of, you have the right voice for this kind of show. And I don't just mean voice, like your tenor or whatever, but like just your cadence, your timing, how you bring people in and out, I think showed a level of professionalism that I wasn't necessarily expecting, not necessarily from you, but just overall today. And that really impressed me. I also think your intro song was awesome.
Thank you.
I got nothing bad to say about that at all. I think that went really well. And immediately when you came in, I went, oh, all right, I can tell we're on the tracks to do a show here. And was kind of in already and feeling some pretty positive vibes. So extra points for all of that. I felt like when we finally got to the debates themselves, they felt to me just to be a little bit weak. And I hope I don't repeat a lot of what my fellow judges have already said, but some of that may happen. But it made me wish somebody somewhere had done some really deep cuts, really deep dives on Disney facts, costume facts, be that like interesting dates of when the first thing happened, or why, what is the most popular Disney costume according to, you know, whatever. Like these, this kind of information is surely out there, and I would have loved that. That would have made the costumes as this concept here a lot more interesting for me, rather than just sort of, and like Jenny says, it felt a little like a contest, like a little bit like a game show, even though it wasn't really meant to be one. I think that would have taken me further down the road to appreciating the costume arguments. And honestly, it felt a little just like a variation of hot dog, whether hot dog's a sandwich or not, which we've also brought up today. It's the, you know, the tale as old as time, great Twitter fodder type thing, but I just never quite got into it in the way that I was hoping I would. So yeah, I kind of had to pretend that I like these costumes of Disney characters more to get into the rhythm of things. But once I kind of did that, I think it went pretty well. The structure of this thing was all right. I think the pacing was really good. Again, I think a lot of that is how Bobby handled hosting. And I think that went really far. That was a thing that made this higher score this week for me than it would have been, I think, given his leadership there. And I think that worked out really well. It's not to say everybody else didn't do a great job. And, you know, whoever does your overall hosting is always going to get a lot of attention. But in this particular case, it really, really helped your cause. But yeah, and on the whole, I enjoyed this one. I think I would just like some, if this was a show that continued on, I'd like something to be done about what, go really deep dive into why you're talking about costumes, why it's a big deal. Some of that is echoed with Justin's comments. And I think that could make a pretty interesting show.
Very good. Didn't mean to mention this at the beginning, but as far as who did what, Don and David, you guys were responsible for the music. Bobby, you hosted, did editing and sound design. Everybody was involved with the concept and writing. All right. Thank you, Sock Puppets. We'll talk to you in a little bit. We're going to move on to Forest Bench Wizard Blast and their submission, Apples and Orangutans. First off, let's talk about who did what, because I meant to do this at the beginning. Melissa, you did writing, debate performance, and rough editing. Reed, writing and debate performance, rough editing, and the overall concept. Gabriel, writing and the judge performance, editing and collection of brainstorming. And Travis, you did the intro and announcer performance, also the writing and master editing.
Yeah, we kind of did a lot like what Team One was saying, where they sort of iterative.
Just all group, sure.
So, you know, I would do a cut and then I would let everyone listen to it and we'd give feedback and then I could go back and kind of make some changes here and there.
Gotcha. So the iterative style of editing where, okay, makes sense. Good. Well, let's talk about the show itself, Apples and Orangutans. Explain the concept.
Yeah, so we kind of wanted to get, get a little weird with it. You know, a debate within 10 minutes.
Can you guys slate who's talking? Oh,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
You just say like, hey, it's Travis.
This is Reed.
Hi, Reed.
Hi. The 10 minutes to have a serious conversation, we felt like that would be giving a serious topic short shrift. So we were doing something a little more silly, a little more absurdist, and just seeing where that would go.
Okay, very good. And let's talk about the brainstorming process with you guys as well. Is it the same kind of thing? Is it collaborative? I know the editing is iterative, but are you guys all working on the same parts of the brainstorming, or do some of you take different parts?
This is Travis. This week we did kind of split it up a little bit more. We really brainstormed the at the beginning and then would kind of split off and let Reed or Melissa kind of brainstorm and write their individual debates and then kind of come back together and say, okay, here's what we have. Let's give this a shot and try it out and just sort of build off of that.
Okay, cool. And the as you're coming up with the initial concept, again, is there somebody who kind of takes on the leadership role and says, okay, we've got it. Now let's write.
I think I'm going to talk on this a little bit. This week was really hard for me specifically, and I think that kind of made it hard for our team. It was just a rough week, but in the first week, we kind of all talked together and collaborated and like came to an idea and played off of each other. And this week, we started out doing that, and then it was just really hard for me to really accept Reed's idea, I guess, because I do like more realness, and like it's really hard for me to do things that I'm not passionate about and like talk about things that I don't necessarily care about, I guess. So it did take me a while to get on board with this one, and that's kind of what made the brainstorming process a little bit harder this time.
Sure.
So this time we did, Reed took the lead on this one, and we kind of just went with that.
Okay. Yeah. And that's, thank you for talking about that, because that is a tough thing. It's a very tough thing when you've got four people who, just met each other a couple weeks ago and kind of forced into, this little small space of having to create something in a week's time and agree on it. And that's the thing, not agreeing on it is going to happen. And it sounds like you did bring it up and say, yeah, I'm not sure I'm on board with this idea. And that's sometimes a really, really tough thing to do in a brand new setting like this, when you're with three brand new people and you're trying to collaborate.
No, especially when we're all used to kind of running our own show, right? I mean,
right. And all four of you podcast, I guess, with the exception of Gabriel.
Mm-hmm.
You guys all do solo shows, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, I definitely do a duo.
Yep. With the aforementioned Kristen, who we heard from
Trader.
Just a minute ago. So you guys did, you know, beats and beats and serial and serial. And what were some of the other comparison ideas, not even necessarily on the homonym front, but did you guys have early ideas that were left on the table of different kinds of comparisons? Or was it always this kind of?
In our meeting with Tom, we kind of talked about like debating things that start with a certain letter or a certain color, just still keeping it in that weird vibe.
Right.
But we definitely went off on a bunch of different things. And then we kind of picked some and then started making arguments for them and kind of did what we had the most arguments for.
Oh, great. Makes sense. Yeah. And did you do that kind of the same way that we were talking about with Sock Puppets, where you kind of recorded a few or even just went over a few of those debates, see how they felt in from an improvisational standpoint?
It was a lot of like brainstorming, like personal brainstorming, just writing, like, I mean, on my end anyway, just sitting down with myself.
I'm so sorry. I'm just really looking for you guys to slate your names.
Yeah, it's Reed. Sorry. I just kind of sat down to do brainstorming and just came up with as many kind of one-liners as I could in any given topic that popped into my head. And then we kind of met back and decided which ones were the strongest and where there were the most, and which ones that we felt could be expanded upon. So,
Gotcha. Did the script, so for the recording that we heard, did you guys start with a script, or did the script come out of doing several takes or several attempts, maybe unrecorded debates?
I think.
Go ahead, Melissa.
Oh, this is Melissa. I'm sure you know that. but yeah, we did start as scripting pretty much. And then, like I said, it was like a really hard week for me. So it was hard for me to even think of things. So I kind of played off of Reed's ideas and then went off and created my own like little 30-second stories from there. But for me, at least, it was always scripted.
Gotcha. I get the benefit of seeing Discord discussions, and I listen to your time with Tom. I listen to the coaching sessions, et cetera. One of the things that came out of this that wasn't in the Tom time was the wrestling perspective on this.
We got,
how did that come?
Oh, go ahead.
So this is Gabriel. That kind of got to a point of, we're trying to find like a a theme to go with it. We got kind of stuck on the absurdist mentality and the different styles of debate, the two very, very different styles of like presenting points. So we're trying to figure out a way to wrap it up. And in the way it kind of almost organically came into talking of, hey, what if we, you know, they're limited to time, they have rounds. Well, I'm a big fan of like, you know, martial arts and, you know, sport combat type stuff. So I was like, well, what if we add this twist to kind of help with a format of some sort? So we're not just randomly spitting into the void, so to speak.
Gotcha. So the theme, okay. That totally makes sense. Cause yeah, I remember that I didn't remember that coming up in the Tom time and was wondering how it came about. Excellent. All right. Well, let's jump into our judges and we're going to start this time with Justin.
Apples and orangutans. Guys, it brings me no pleasure to say that this was bad. You managed to take the hype and pageantry of combat sports and you made it feel hollow. You decided to take the spontaneity of the fact that all these topics were fairly interesting, at least on a random level, and you made it. You made a stop in between so you could do a judging that doesn't happen in combat sports, but did effectively break the momentum of at least you could build up your contestants to be impressive because you can literally throw anything at them as they build. And you know that there's, or at least feel as you're listening, that there's no time in between to think about them. You know, everything sounded written and performed. I just want to go back one more time because another team did something around like with this, but you got to, if you're going to sell, baby, you have to sell. The reason why I am not doing this live is because right now I'm going to the Chase Center in San Francisco, California, and I'm going to watch professional wrestling. I'm going to watch people whose job it is to make you believe that the silliest shit on earth is possible. They're going to make me believe that ghosts are real. They're going to make me believe that they're a kids show host. They're going to make me believe that they want a piece of plastic and metal, and that that's the end all be all reason why they exist. I didn't believe that with you guys. And now you don't necessarily have to do that in every podcast. But if the point of what you want to do, if the shell of what you're showing up with, if the framework is about pageantry, if it's about athleticism, if it's about you believing that somebody's good and somebody's bad and good will triumph over evil, well, then your success and failure is totally dependent on whether or not I did. And I didn't.
All right.
All right.
I'm nervous now.
I know, exactly. All I can do is just imagine. I know he's smiling while he's saying all this. He's smiling while he's saying all this. It got me even rocking back and forth in my chair.
All right. He smiles through all things in life. So
he does. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Scott. Follow that.
All right. I will do my darndest to follow that. It is not my favorite of the week. That isn't to say that I didn't find some things in here that I liked, but I'll just get into it. It just felt too forced and not funny enough. I think the writing, and this is no knock on anyone in particular, I think this stuff is hard. It's like you guys carved out a really hard thing to do. And that was to make a bunch of comedy and try to make it work. And not that's possible, obviously. There's plenty of examples of that out there, but it just did not land for me. The jokes just didn't work. And I think the concept is fine. I think the writing and the execution were tough, and it made me kind of cringe a lot of the way through it. I really kind of liked the interim narration guy. I forget who did it. But I liked that.
Gabriel, I believe, was the...
Yeah, I was a judge and narration guy.
Narration.
It's like the Wayne Don't Tell Me dude that just recently passed away. Can't think of his name. Robert Siegel. I kind of like that. I like that little interjection, and it got me back for a sec. I was like, oh, okay, cool. This is structurally good. I like what they're doing here. I think in particular, the John Wayne Gacy stuff was really, really bad. That stuff either needs to be like platinum funny or it ain't going to work. Any jokes where a bunch of people were murdered in the story portion of it, I think is tough. And you guys tackling that, while I think is brave and has, you know, the potential to pay off, and it certainly can in some circumstances, I think here it fell really flat for me. For the most part, though, it just couldn't keep me going. And I think it was the writing. I think that I was open to some comedy. I was open to some improv that would make its way in. Like, all of those things sound really great on paper. I think it just was one of those where, you know, a great comedian will tell you, you don't know what kind of comedian you are until you've bombed. And this felt like a comedian who with talent. You guys all have talent. You made me laugh before just in this room as we've been chatting. And this was just a bit of a stage bomb. And I think there's enough talent here to totally recover from that sort of thing. But this particular one was a little bit rough for me.
Yeah. And it's actually really good. You remind me, Scott, that I probably need to keep bringing the point or remind everybody the point that that again, we're reviewing the podcast, not reviewing the people. So the stuff, Jerry's comments, Scott's comments, Jenny's comments, my comments we're grading the podcast and not the performer. We know you guys all have talent. We love all you guys. And so, you wouldn't be here if we didn't. Let's get to Jenny.
Okay. So this was an underbaked concept, right? My note was not as detailed as Justin's, but it was like, why wrestling? Why use that? Why? You can't just tack on a thing because your thing doesn't have enough thing. You have to have it mean something, right? And also, like, it didn't live up to the stylistic intros of wrestling, which are quite complex and also often have reverb, and there was no music at the top. There was like one sound note. It was just like inconsistent sound design, and it didn't go the full mile. And you were a team that like did really well last week, so surprising to me. You can smell a group of people who didn't behave like a team from a long way off. And hearing that there was some, like, teamwork is about listening to the team and coming to a team consensus. And there may be one person who's like, all right, I think we got it. But like, that better be after, especially when it's not like a hierarchical job thing, but when it's like a team behavior, like, you better listen to everybody. And you also better listen to the person who is like the least represented among you, just as a thought, like the person with the opinion that doesn't fit everybody else's. That's actually one of the better people to listen to, because they're providing you an alternate destiny. And I think what all of us were saying was, we really want to believe the thing that you're debating. And I didn't in this one. Also, neither did the helicopter circling above. Now, the absurdism, I don't mind, right? Like, I grew up listening to Bob and Ray, which is this comedy group, and they were extremely absurd. But if you're going to go for it, you have to go to the full absurdity of comparing beats to beats, right? Like, you can't just do it. You have to have a curveball on it. You have to think about, like, what is funny about that, or what is absurdist, or how would Abbott and Costello do this beats versus beats if they were talking about who's on first, right? Like, even if you literally just took the rhythms of who's on first and did it with beats and beats and cereal, and I really would have gone with cereal the podcast here, right? Because, like, that's prime podcast making fun of humor. Mm. It just, like, taking the premise at face value reduces the stakes of the debate, and there are no stakes here. However, I did like the tongue tripper. But otherwise, it just didn't take a lot away from this, and it felt like the late stage Beatles, but not quite as good. Like, it was different pieces, but not all like coming together. There was no George Martin to bring it all together.
Wow! Now you and I are going to have a debate on late stage Beatles. Apparently,
yeah. I mean, I'm not saying like the talent didn't take it over the top. What I'm saying is a unified force of musical homogeny and harmony, it ain't there in the end.
Right. No, I did say come together there at the end, which I think is funny.
Yeah.
Nice work.
That's right. Abbey Road, 50th anniversary this week. All right. Thank you, Jenny. And thank you, Force Bench Wizard Blast. We'll talk to you in a little bit as well. All right. Banana Hugs. Let's get to you guys here. And this is our three-legged team. Tyler, who was responsible for concept, script, and dialogue edit. Shane, who was also responsible for concept and did the effects and the music. And the Jen with the script. I type in here the Jen. You just only go by the Jen in my book.
That's correct.
I'm never going to call you anything else. All right. Tell us about Court's Courthouse. What's the concept?
Tyler here. So yeah, the concept is in the year 3020, they're having a political debate for the position of Grand Vizier, who is the assistant to the controller of the galaxy. And we played it up at, you know, what does an election sound like 1,000 years from now? And this was our idea.
Very good. And what would another episode of this series sound like, another episode in this series?
Well, we alluded to having, there were past competitions. I think there was a combat round last week, and there are probably other challenges, probably a singing competition, changing it up all the time. And then next week we teased the final election or the final debate round to see who was going to be the actual candidate.
Gotcha. So this, and I think we even talked about this earlier in the week, this would be a limited series, but it still would be a series and it would focus on this group of candidates.
Correct.
Okay. Let's talk about your brainstorming process. If it's different from the others, is it fully collaborative? Is there somebody who leads, kind of takes charge?
Honestly, we all really collaborate on things, almost to the point to where a couple days after we were working on the idea, I have to sit down and think. It was like, okay, was that my idea or was that Shane's, or who did what aspects? I know I actually had to listen back through our planning sessions before I was like, Shane came up with the idea of doing this big monster truck rally to the death. And then I came up with the, what if it's a political situation in the year 3000? And so that's kind of where we really jumped off of.
Excellent. All right. Yeah, we hit a lot of, potentially a lot of extreme sports this week. break out the Red Bull. You got dinged hard last week for not going far enough and committing to the bit in your presentation. Do you feel like you went that extra length in this?
Yeah, I feel like that was kind of our mantra in the first few days, especially when we're trying to figure out what was a good idea and what was a bad idea. It was just like, you know, we need to go all in. We need to go full throttle.
Very good. And lastly, with the politics heavy, even though it's politics parody, you know, you got Justin Robert Young as one of your judges. Were you worried at all about him being involved with the, you know, since he does a politics show and he's very invested in politics, wore a Charmander suit to the DNC and the RNC, if I remember correctly. What were you worried about?
You know, really wanted to just, you know, we had to go big or go home. That was kind of the big thing. And, we knew that a jury would recognize a lot of the things that we're doing, hopefully. And hopefully we did them in a good way that was satisfying to listen to.
Very good. All right. Well, let's hear from our judges. Scott is going to start us off on this one.
All right. It absolutely showed your go big or go home, your decision to not have the criticism from last week haunt you into this week. It really did. You somehow made this thing succeed that really, quite frankly, the other teams really struggled with. And it's across the board different stuff. Your production value is great, like really good. If you don't mind me asking, who was chiefly sort of responsible for all the voice modulation and some of those decisions? Because that stuff was
only
rad.
Because you're complimenting it. It's Shane all the way.
All right. Yeah.
It was a lot. It was Shane is a master. It's been really fun to kind of
throw things out there, and I kind of directed some takes. And then when I heard it, I was like, yep, that's the music I want. Thank you. You are awesome, Shane.
Yeah, that stuff really shone through. I'm a big fan of it, especially when it's done right. It can be overdone. And so there's a real talent or skill to knowing, you know, when to fold them, when to hold them, that whole thing, and not overdo it, not overwhelm people with Foley and sound effects and that sort of thing. I think that stuff was really good here, and I know the kind of work that takes, and it can pay off, or it can be miserable because you spend a lot of time doing a thing that didn't save the show or didn't add to it. And in this case, I think it really did. I think you looked past the ordinary this week. You could have just done, we keep bringing it up, but as a hot dog, a sandwich, you could have done it, but you didn't. You decided to do something more challenging, something that required writing and humor and reference and some science fiction, not so much science fiction knowledge, but like, I don't know, a sense for what the ridiculous of politics might be on a galactic level. It's a little bit of, you know, Hitchhiker's Guide in here. If I'm honest, I kind of got a vibe of that. Which I think is really great for the overall structure. I also think the voice work, and this is something that's almost untrue of every show we did last season or this season, voice work was consistent, and that was a huge plus for me. It sounded like everybody was in a studio. They were all on the same microphones. They had the same tech. I know some of that can be accomplished by this modulation you're doing, and so, you know, you can hide the fact that someone was on Skype or somebody recorded on a different mic or whatever the reasons were. And it just felt consistent. I didn't have to think about that someone sounded different than somebody else, which again is a huge thing for me. And I'm always trying to achieve that on my shows. So I appreciate that sort of thing. I mean, a part of me, I'll admit, I was wondering if you guys were pandering a bit to Jury and his political side, but that managed pretty quick for me. I really like the direction you guys took it. You made me laugh. I cannot say that for the other shows this week. I got a couple of good laughs out of it. And the parts I didn't laugh at, I still thought were clever. And you made me kind of want to read this audiobook of this world that you're in. So you were, if you were pandering to me at all, it's just for my desire for kind of a quirky intergalactic sort of universe. And I love that sort of thing. But this really, this has all the telltale signs of a thing that shouldn't work well. And especially work well with, for me. Like this should just, I should see this and go, this is too artificial. This is too set up. This is too, you know, on the nose. And you guys broke that. I don't know how you did it, but you did it and you guys made it work. And I think that's really cool. I think this is the kind of show that'd be very, very hard to keep up on a regular schedule. And thankfully that it doesn't need to be, you know, for what we're doing, and it doesn't really play any role in the judgment, but you know, it would be a difficult show to produce on the weekly at the level that you guys push this thing out. So I think you guys really did a good job. And as a one-off, it really shone this week. So well done.
Thanks, Scott.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I think the limited series aspect of that definitely would make it easier to maintain, especially if it was like a limited series for a range during each presidential election. Then you kind of get 3.5 years off or whatever it is, 3 years off before you start working on it again. Very good. And I do want to make sure that Shane gets a chance to jump in here, because, you know, we're levying all these compliments. I get to listen to basically, you know, all three teams post stuff in their Discords, audio clips in their Discords all week. And if I'm not doing anything, I'm not preparing for a show, then I might hit play and listen in on some of them. Shane recorded some pretty amazing music work, and like recorded, I think, 3 different audio tracks that we're going to, I think he was pitching for behind the theme or behind the discussions, behind the debate part. And I just got to say, they were all really, really cool.
Oh, so thanks. Yeah. They're, I guess we kind of described them as walk up songs or, you know, theme songs.
Right. They're really, really good.
Thank
you. Excellent. All right. Let's get to Jenny.
Oh, hello. You guys did a great, great job this week. And it often is when you lose a team member, you're like, we're not going to lose another team member. So, and you know what you did? Do you guys know what you did?
Did we commit?
Like, not only did you commit, but you layered the bit, which makes me so happy, because, you know, like, you were using sci-fi to talk about, you know, contemporary issues like immigration and fascism and all of that. It took place in a stadium, like you built a world in 10 minutes, right? The characters were both recognizable in the sci-fi universe and also our universe, right? The writing was very strong. I liked the little cameo of Ace Detect from the Virgo system. And I, you know, at least between the humanoids, there were stakes, right? There were fictional stakes. I wouldn't say that, like, you let so much emotion of your own beliefs and things come through, but, like, you really committed to the world and that showed. I had a couple of minor notes, right? If you're going to do, like a monster truck thing and you're really going to let's get ready to galactically rumble, you have to have a perfect, like, level between the music and the words, especially if the music is, like, thrash metal, right? Like, the words need to pop on top of that, whether that's, like, you raise the treble or you do something or you just drop the audio of the music a little. You've got to be able to hear, like, I missed, like, the character intros. Like, I couldn't quite, because, like, you know, people in podcasts, you always want people to be listening on their professional Sony Pro blah, blah, blah headsets. They're not. They're listening on cruddy little $10 speakers or their, God forbid, their AirPods or, and they're not, there's like, or they're listening in their car and the wind going past the, you know, over the car basically blocks out certain frequencies of sound. So, like, always account for that. Like, we used to have to change, like, Kai Rizdahl's voice used to get lost in the car and, like, because when we're doing Make Me Smart, you'd have to really compensate for that because of the way, the frequency that his voice was out. Other minor comedy note, if you have a bit where when someone says, may he live forever, and the audience says, may he live forever, which is very funny, you have to do it every time because that is Matt Flanagan repetition comedy. It has to be every time so that your audience is expecting it every time. And think about, like, in a larger sense, think about the audience sound as a layer of script. I talked about this last week. Like, once you have the debate parts written, which you really wrote the hell out of, you have to go back and do an actual full thinking about the audience noise pass and how that can add to the storytelling. But overall, very well done.
Thank you.
Strongest performance this week.
It's funny. That was, there was actually, I think those last two comments Jenny had were basically our last two comments we were kind of deciding on.
Oh, really? The sound, exactly. The audience noise, the sound design on that?
Yeah, I specifically was like, okay, maybe we do this every time. I re-listened to it. Maybe we do it every time. And then the biggest problem was we were just at 9 minutes and 59 seconds and there was just no way to squeeze it in without losing totally. Something. So we had to go without. But it's funny you said that.
Totally. And in a 20 minute or even in a 12 minute, like, you would have had so much more room. And that's, like, the art of choice. And but I was really, really pleased with how this one came out. It's always like failure yep. provides focus.
Yeah.
Very good. All right. Thanks, well, there is one more pre-recorded shoe that has to drop. And it's going to be right now. Let's hear from Justin.
All right. Courts, courthouse. You guys were my favorites. But, you know, I think you guys have successfully defended yourself away from the most harsh criticism because obviously there was a ton of work put into this. You created a world. You created a soundscape. The soundscape was inconsistent at times only because at other times you put so much work and effort into it that you definitely felt an unnatural moment when things would come down too quiet. It didn't effectively sound like a live remote, if that makes sense. But again, the downsides on that are only because you did so well with the rest of it. I was more entertained than annoyed by the script in general. I really think that scripted stuff is very, very dicey. You know, you're betting a lot on yourself and it paid off. Except... look, you guys made a very, very, very complicated world. And that's fine. But I got to be able to follow along. And at a certain point, all the metaphors become techno babble. And I wound up spending more time trying to pick out the exact back and forth with the Houston debate, the Democratic debate that actually happened, than really giving a hell about who's going to win and who's going to lose, let alone if the fate of the universe. I don't care about the fate of the universe, right? At that point, I'm spending more time thinking, oh, that was Julian Castro, that was Joe Biden, that was Andrew Yang, then I'm not paying attention to the characters. I don't have a favorite character. And if you're scripting something out, you better have that. Because what you don't have is authenticity for me to bind myself to. Like, if you're just having an honest conversation, then you can say, oh, I like that argument. That would be my argument. Or I hate that argument. I wish I could tell that person off. In a situation like this, you don't really have that. But tons of effort. It was a good landing, but the premise weighed you down in the middle.
All right. Thank you, Justin. Yeah, I mean, that is that's the thing I was wondering about, is his reaction to the politics aspect. And it sounded like he, because he's so invested in this sort of thing, he was caught up in the who said what and the real debate that the parody was kind of based on. Good feedback, and thank you for that, Justin. All right. Well, let's talk about who won this week. I think it might be pretty apparent from the reviews that we got, even though a jury at the beginning said everybody lost this week, jury's comments definitely seem to lean towards this one. And sure enough, the votes agree with it. Banana hugs. You guys pulled out a win.
Yes, thank you.
Good job.
Thank you. Oh, man.
Yeah. And I think the stuff that you learned from last week. And I think it's a very important thing that that Jenny brings up, and I'm going to let her readdress this. But the loss last week and taking the things to heart that you got dinged on pretty heavily and really addressing those this time around is what really did it for you. And Jenny, I'm going to let you kind of continue on.
I think this was an excellent, excellent example. You did a high degree of difficulty, which was building a world, right? And building a convincing sci-fi world. And I was really entertained by it. I was locked in. I was like, it felt compelling to me. And I was really happy. And it also struck me as a harmonious effort. And I think looking back on this week, from next week, I would say harmonious effort is what I'm going to be looking for.
You're giving us way too many t-shirt ideas.
I learned it from Molly Wood.
Scott, anything to add?
Yeah, I would not only agree with all of that, but I would say it occurs to me that with a little more polish and you know, the budgets that these sorts of things get and that sort of thing, I mean, this is something that could play on NPR's politics show as an end segment after a very heated debate about actual politics, and them doing kind of a funny moment of Zen sort of outro where they play your thing. It was that good to me. And I think it deserves a lot of praise for that, because what you guys decided to do, I mean, Justin's right. If this was an actual debate, well, then you would have a side to take or a feeling to have, but because this was all, you know, make-believe, it has to be taken as parody. And as parody, I think you guys did it. I think you just really killed it. And I would say, don't get too comfortable with the idea that you pulled one off. I would stay team oriented, like Jenny says. I think that's what won the day there. Here is you guys working together. You clearly had a vision that was shared and Thank equally you. Distributed, and it really shows.
Very good. All right. Justin, anything to add? Oh, just kidding. Made you all look. Yeah, still not here.
I was waiting for the pre-record.
Would that be the greatest?
I'm going to be yelling again. I got some things to yell about.
Would that be the greatest joke ever played is having Justin actually show up? You guys thought I wasn't here. All right. Well, congratulations, Banana Hugs. You guys will get a bonus for this upcoming week, and we'll talk about that in a second. But that empty whiskey shot glass on my desk can only mean one thing, and that is that it's time to talk about who didn't win this week. And
I was going to say that you drink too much. That was what it was.
That was the other thing it also tells me. Yes.
All right.
So get ready for a drinking challenge this week. and sadly, based on scores, that is Forest Bench Wizard Blast.
No.
I know. You guys are so surprised.
Shocking. Shocking.
Yeah. It was a tough thing this week. And you know, comedy is tough, and even though it was rooted in debate, it's always such a tough thing to try and pull off something that's funny, that's still tight and delivered well and presented well and is easy to follow. And I think that's what the judges had the biggest problem with this week. Scott, you want to add anything?
Not much to add, except, you know, this is a team that did well the previous week, and that tells me they could do even better next, because there'll be a sort of a reaffirmation of teamwork. There'll be a chance here to regroup, and it will affect how the next challenge is handled by them as a team, as a group. And even then, individual skills will still come to bear. So I have really high hopes for this team in general. I haven't said this out loud before, but they're my favorite team. And so it doesn't count for much, but it's still interesting to me. And I think you guys have got, you know, you have the talent, you have the people, you have the wherewithal. It'll just be a matter of, all right, well, this, we need to talk about what's next and figure out the best way to handle it. And I think you'll do fine.
And getting the focus and stuff. Jenny, anything to add?
Listen to everyone. Don't barrel through anyone. If someone has a dissenting opinion, there's a reason for it. And usually those are the people those people need to be the most passionate and not back down. And the people who have the idea that they're absolutely sure is the right idea, gotta like check up and listen to everyone. And that is what made, I could hear it in all of your voices when you were discussing this. That is what made the difference between this week and last week.
Right. All right. Well, this is the toughest part for me on anything. Having to fire somebody every week is a difficult thing. I can't do it. I'd never work as the host of The Apprentice for that reason, completely. But I'm sorry, the person that is going to be leaving the competition this week is Reed.
Oh,
I'm sorry, Reed. I think it was the overall concept that I think was the toughest part of this. And I know you wanted to go wacky, and I think there's always believe me, I love wacky, and I live in a world of wacky. But getting everybody on board with the wackiness and making sure that you've got full support is tough. And I think that's what may have caused the downfall this week. Again, anything to add, judges?
Not for me. I think he's got, I mean, there's a reason, you always say this, but there's a reason that these guys are all in here.
Yeah,
to start with. And so yep. I would just see this as an early reprieve to go work on your next rad thing and blow everybody away with it, and not as a failure or a mistake or any of that. Because it really isn't. Someone had to go, and some of this stuff just comes down to bad timing, bad chemistry on one project. Like, that stuff just is what it is. But I think you got a lot of cool stuff ahead of you if you're serious about it.
For sure.
One thing I would say is to the rest of the people is, don't be afraid of being the overall concept person. I was thinking about this and I was like, I hope we're not punishing the person who comes up always with the overall concept. But actually, you know what? We're not, because the overall concept, if it works, is the thing that saves the show. And if it doesn't work, it's the thing that kills the show. So keep going bold, but don't stop until you're done. You got it right.
That's right. Yeah. And it is an important thing. Even if the show fails, it might not be because of the concept. It's, you know, so own it and commit to it. Not just commit to the bit, but commit to it here if it's your concept. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you are going to be the tall poppy that gets the machete. Ooh. Boy, I guess too much John Wayne Gacy talk, I think, for
that is understandable. That is understandable.
You hang around me too much. That was a Scott Johnson level metaphor you had going there.
Nice. Well, the tall poppy thing I know is an Australian thing. I kept the metaphor going, man. Reed, anything you want to say?
No, I'm glad I got to be on the show. I, you know, I like working alone, and that's something I know about myself and knew about myself.
I thought I was the one that's supposed to hate group projects.
Well, we tried to change you.
I understand.
Yeah.
I like everyone on my team. I think they're all super talented. And I'm glad I got to work with all of them and know them, but I do like to work by myself.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, you have pissed off Jenny. I was going to let you go on this one, but you said the bad words. I want to say something, which is if you ever want to really make it in the world in whatever it is that you really want to do, then I am going to need you to learn to work with other people, because you know what there are in the world? Producers, executive producers, senior producers, heads of networks, all the sorts of people that give stupid notes, good notes, annoying notes, too late notes, notes. And you know what? You got to find a way to make those notes work. You got to listen to all the people in a writer's room. Nobody writes all of one TV show. They write, They make it their name on the script that wins the Emmy, but everybody contributed to that script and everybody gets to be heard. So I would strongly think about that position. Nobody works on their own, and neither should you.
I hear you. Yeah. I hear you.
But you're great.
Exactly. And careful what you say around
the producer. Right.
Excellent. All right. Well, thank you, Reed.
Yeah. And thank you.
Hey, for the record, man, you had my favorite photo, my favorite bio.
Oh, yeah, of course. Right.
That is the weirdest and coolest thing. All right. Well, let's clear our minds, clear our throats here, and move forward on to talking about next week. You want to know your challenge for next week? Of course you do. I was waiting for a yes, but Hammond will insert one of those later on.
We're still having a hard time breathing, Brian.
Okay. Yeah, we're trying to breathe again.
Gotcha. Yes, okay. Brian.
There we go. Thank you. Much better. This week, we want you to blind us with science. Yes, science podcasts are so prolific that a lot of podcasting sites need to break them out into subcategories like anatomy, astronomy, medical science, social science, et cetera, and so on. Shows like NPR's Hidden Brain, This Podcast Will Kill You, and 1,000 TED Talks all serve to provide entertainment that hide the education, kind of like the spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down, or more importantly, the spoonful of Jägermeister in that Mary Poppins costume. Here's your prognosis. Your team is going to write, record, and produce a science-based podcast. It can be any form of science: mathematics, nature, astronomy, chemistry, physics, social sciences, whatever. We want to come away from your show feeling a little bit smarter and a lot more entertained. So drop the knowledge bombs, but make sure that they're presented in a way that entertains and educates. And of course, you're going to keep it to 10 minutes or less and have it to us by our usual deadline.
No.
Let's see here. Banana Hugs. Team name, Banana Hug.
Yay.
As winners this week, you're going to get a coaching session with one of the most well-known names in terms of science and podcasting. Dr. Kiki Sanford has been the host of the appropriately named Dr. Kiki Science Hour and is the current host of This Week in Science on the TWiT Network. She's going to spend 10 minutes with you listening to your symptoms and prescribing the techniques to making a science podcast interesting, informative, and compelling. Teams, do you have any questions?
Negative here.
No.
I'm so excited.
No questions.
Excellent. Yeah, I know. There's some strong moving away from comedy into the science world. I think there's some folks on every team who've got a good background and a good hand for this. So, deep cleansing breath. It's a new week. We're going to start on this one. We're going to have fun with it. And that's where we're going to go. Scott, anything to add?
I would just say I'm very excited about this one because I love a good science podcast. And I love, for the things I don't like about debate podcasts, I fill in with what I love about a good science podcast. And I am very excited to see what you guys do. The only thing I would say is do not be afraid to go further than surface stuff. Don't just tell me how weather works. Don't just tell me why the human mind is competitive or tribal. Like, go deep, find something crazy. That would be my recommendation, because I want to learn something new. And my favorite thing about those podcasts is that I don't go in there to be reaffirmed about what I already understand about wildlife or about whatever it may be. And so just look to stretch that way a little bit. I can hear in your voices that you're stoked already and that this is going to be some people's wheelhouse. And I'm excited to see what that is.
Very good. Jenny.
Sound design. Sound design. Sound design. That's all.
Oh, okay. Very good. And if Jury were here, he'd say, I don't care what you do. Just make it entertaining and don't.
Be your true self. Show your ass. Tell us how we got these asses.
Excellent. And I should clarify, Dr. Kiki's Science Hour was with Twit, but This Week in Science, despite the first three words of that, is not part of This Week in Tech or not part of Twit. So it is the Kick-Ass Science podcast that's not part of Twit. All right. Well, on behalf of our team of folks here, Jenny, Justin, Scott, Hammond, and me, Brian Ibbett, we'll see you next time. I won Monica. Thank you, Monica. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time right here on America's Next Top Podcaster. That's going to do it for this episode of America's Next Top Podcaster. Join us next week as our teams blind us with their science podcasts. But before we go, let's hear from this week's eliminated contestant.
Thank you for listening to America's Next Top Podcaster. This is embittered eliminated contestant Reed Messerschmidt. Scott Johnson, Jenny Josephson, and Justin Robert Young are our judges, and Tom Merritt is our coach. Hammond Chamberlain is our producer, and Brian Ibbett is our executive producer and host. Monica Stone is our social media coordinator, and listen for follow-up interviews with Alex Elbisu. Music is by Andrew Allen. Find him online at andrewallenmusic.com. To learn more about the podcast, visit americasnexttoppodcaster.com, follow us on Twitter at Podcasting Idol, and discuss the game with other fans on Facebook at facebook.com/americasnexttoppodcaster.